Hey, all you cool cats and kittens, this is Jocelyn the Brunette. If you like Straight Up Evil, would you please rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player? Follow us on social media. We're Straight Up Evil on Instagram, Straight Up Evil Podcast on Facebook, and Straight Up Pod on Twitter, just to keep it interesting. Also, don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter. To sign up, go to our website, straightupevilpodcast.com. That's straightupevilpodcast.com, and enter your email. It's written by Carly the Blonde. It includes things like her book recommendations, some wild news stories, and most importantly, charities that could use your support. Finally, we want to hear from you. So email us at straightupevil@gmail.com and tell us who you are, where you're listening, and what cases we should cover next. That's it. Rate and review, follow us on social media, subscribe, and send us an email. Thanks for listening. And remember, no one ever leaves their purse at home.
Oh my God.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Straight Up Evil. Go ahead, Benny. What were you going to say?
No, nothing. I know I get really stressed out. I have to stress eat. Okay, because
yeah,
I can't be smoking, so I gotta fucking eat some candy.
Eat my feelings, dude.
Exactly.
I've been such a bitch all day, putting the finishing touches on this outline, being like, this fucking...
She's dragged you down to hell.
She'll drag you
right down to hell with her.
Leave the dog alone because the dog didn't do a damn thing, and now you're trying to feed him your bodily
Thou
fluid.
Thou shalt kill all of your
hands. And a dog fish a tampon out of the garbage. It
ain't right to bubble you, but you can pretend like you will. A dog.
Wow. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Straight Up Evil. My name is Jocelyn. I'm the brunette. We've got Katie. She's the redhead.
Hello.
And we got Carly. She's the blonde.
Oh, hey.
We are back at it tonight, and we are here with part two and the conclusion of our series on America's Sweetheart, Casey Anthony, Top Mom. And we're going to jump right back in.
America's Next Top Mom.
So, the last time that we left Casey Anthony, we ended the last episode with Roy Kronk, the meter man who found the skeletal remains of little Kaylee Marie Anthony, Casey's daughter, in a wooded area 19 feet from the road and a very short distance from the Anthony home. This is December of 2008. So over the next 3 years, the state of Florida decided to mount a death penalty case against Casey Anthony. So I have a big problem with the fact that this was the death penalty case, but we'll get into that later on because I don't think it helped anything at all. I understand why, but that's a big leap. If she's guilty, she gets the needle. So for 3 years, they're putting this case together, and that is a long time for the media to wait to cover a trial, especially one like this. So the media, in particular, Nancy Grace, who I love, by the way, I know she's ridiculous, but I just have a place in my heart for Nancy Grace. She spent 3 years pretty much uncovering all the dirt she could about Casey Anthony, and there was no shortage of that. So like we said, there's not a whole lot of information to go on her childhood, but for the most part, from what we can tell, Casey Anthony was a normal middle-class kid in Orlando. I mean, and she lived a middle-class childhood, Orlando childhood, you know? There's nothing that really stands out about her upbringing. Her mom worked as an RN and her father was a police officer. And when he retired from that, he became a security guard. Like both parents were present and involved in her life. Pretty basic, pretty straightforward. So as far as we can tell, the first big lie that Casey Anthony told in her life, had to do with graduating from high school. So what happened was 2 days before she's set to walk across the stage, right? She's planning the graduation party. Friends and family are coming to watch her walk across the stage. And Cindy gets a phone call from the school and says, just want to make sure that you know that Casey won't be graduating because she has not completed the required courses to graduate. Okay. I would be fucking dead. I would not be here to be a part of this podcast. Okay.
Seriously.
No, I would have been in deep shit. Cindy Anthony went the opposite way. She told Casey not to tell anyone that this had happened and to carry on like everything was normal. Mm-hmm. So they have the graduation ceremony, obviously, and the friends and family come to watch, and Casey never walks across the stage. And they ask Cindy why she never walked across the stage. And she says, she says, the school messed up. And that's why she never got called to walk across the stage. Okay.
Normal. No. So see, so already, case in point, they sweep that shit under the rug.
Under the rug.
And every time. Let her do whatever. Like
every time.
It's setting a bad precedent her whole life.
Yeah, it really is.
So she goes ahead and accepts all of those graduation gifts, fully not having graduated from high school. She does eventually get her GED, but she goes ahead and has the party and walks the walk and says that she's graduated, and she has not graduated. So, and this is just accepted in her immediate family. And we hear more about Cindy in this story, but you have to believe that George also knows and is just going with it. It's just totally going with it. So after Casey Anthony, quote unquote, graduated from quote unquote high school, she, like most of us, gained a little bit of weight. I know my freshman year of college, I immediately gained weight as soon as I moved out. And Casey's weight was a little bit different in that it was only in the abdominal region.
Mm-hmm. Cause she's a pretty, you know, lean, athletic looking, build up normally, right? So
yeah, she really does. And for some reason, it's starting to look like she has a basketball or volleyball concealed under her shirt. She has clearly is showing signs. And finally, Cindy confronts her and says, hey, listen, are you pregnant? And Casey flips out. Tells her mother, she's 19, tells her mother that she's a virgin. How dare you? Okay? How dare you? And storms out of the house.
Here are your gas cans.
Shockingly, Cindy does nothing. Okay? Just lets it ride. They just let this shit brewing in that house, and they just let it just be there all the time. They just allow her to get away with it. So a month later, they go to a family party and somebody walks up to Cindy and is like, congratulations. I'm so happy for you. Like, you're going to be a grandmother. How great is that? And Cindy says, no. Casey's not pregnant. It's just water weight.
Wow. I can't.
Wow. Okay, so she's a nurse, so she could come up with a better excuse than water weight, by the way. That sounds like, I don't feel like that has been used since the 1980s, okay?
Yeah, right.
So they just say...
She has water weight. She definitely gained water weight in her ankles that are completely full because she's pregnant.
Yes, So, shocker of the century, 1 month later, she gives birth to a baby girl. She's like the Virgin Mary, okay?
What happened? She had
an immaculate conception. Ladies, that's what you don't understand. She was a virgin, and her faith was just so strong that she, 1 month later, boom, done. Yeah.
What I want to know is, did it come out finally? Well, not when did it come out. When did Cindy finally accept the fact that her daughter was pregnant? Was it before the baby actually came out of her, or was it after?
I doubt
I need to know.
I doubt it.
Like, was she in labor and she was like, shouldn't have had that burrito for lunch. Like, you probably should have not had it.
I haven't found anything that says when Cindy found out, but Cindy was physically at the hospital when Casey gave birth. And the thing is, like, she doesn't, it reminds me of Danelle.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the idea that you're not, like, the prenatal appointments that we talked about, how she refused to see a doctor, how she refused to get normal medical care, how she, and nobody said anything to her about it. Like, it's, this is exactly what we're talking about. You mean to tell me that she just goes into labor after 9 months? She's completely reckless. They don't know where she is half the time.
Right.
She's at this point, she's lying about where she works. You know, she was not regularly going to see a doctor. There's
definitely
no way.
Definitely not.
So
she's probably on her parents' insurance. So she wouldn't have gone.
So they know everything. Exactly. Yeah, that's a really good point, because they would definitely be able to tell where she was, what she was doing.
I'm also seeing some signs too of her and her mother, like, very much like sort of like living in each other's like little white lies, kind of. Like, yes. It's a lot of these signs of them, like, already the two of them just like, okay, well, she said that my daughter said this, so I believe her. My mother said this, so I believe her. And they just sort of have this sort of casual exchange with just like bullshit lies.
Yeah.
About things.
They're just making up a reality. Like, they're just like influencing
to each other. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's crazy.
So this, you know, Cindy's at the hospital when she gives birth, and it's Cindy who holds Kaylee first. Not Casey. But it's Cindy who's like, oh, I'll take her. And
that's
her.
Very
and
telling.
It is.
And in interviews, Cindy says it was like having Casey all over again.
Oh, God.
Oh. It's like, it's not a healthy.
No, that's what I was just going to say. It's like kind of a little sick, kind of.
It is kind of a little fucking sick.
And nobody should hold the baby before the mother.
No.
Right.
That's so messed up.
It really is.
And this is like, this I feel like I really honed in on, because I feel like this feeds right into the whole dynamic of the whole situation. Cindy thinks that Casey cannot be a good mom, will not be a good mom. And she does it so much. And she tells her so much that she's not going to be a good mother, or that she's not a good mother, that she overcompensates for Casey.
Yes.
And never lets Casey fall on her face and learn the fucking lesson.
Yes. And I agree. But on the other hand, I'm not convinced that Casey wanted Kaylee one bit from the very get-go. So I wouldn't be shocked if she, you know, she let her mom take Kaylee before she held her. You know what I mean? Like, if anyone tried to take my baby before I held my own baby, when after I
Not
birthed them, you know what I mean? Like, I don't even know what I would like blow the place up.
Yep.
But she obviously was fine with it in at least some way. And I wouldn't be surprised if she was just like, I don't really want it, but like, mom's already taking care, you know what? Mom can take care of her. And like, you know,
yeah,
taking care of me. You know what I mean? Like, mom will fix it. Mom will take care of it. I can still go do whatever I
whatever
want.
Yep.
And like, they're both just constantly feeding into it.
So who is Kaylee's father? The short answer is we don't know.
Yeah.
Cindy reports that Casey told her it was a man named Eric Baker, but he died in a motorcycle accident.
Huh.
So it is confirmed that Eric Baker did die in a motorcycle accident. Someone named Eric Baker did die in a motorcycle accident around the time that Casey was 7 months pregnant. However, we don't know if he ever knew Casey Anthony or he had any relation to her whatsoever. We have no proof of that.
Yeah, like, it could be, it's super convenient that he's not there to speak on his behalf whatsoever, you know?
Yeah, and it just seems like one of those, like, my friend Juliette Lewis, who's from an upscale background, like, the man who's the father of my child. It's like, I don't know, it reminds me of something from Passions or Days of Our Lives or something. It's like, but yes, and we were so in love, but he died on his motorcycle, like James Dean, you know? Like, it's just not... We're not dealing with reality here.
It's very Hollywood. Yeah.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. So, like we said last episode, Casey Anthony left the home of her parents between 1250 and 2:30 on June 16th. Okay. So this is the last time that anyone sees Kaylee alive, except for maybe Casey Anthony. So Casey's defense will go on to pinpoint this window of time, 12:50 to 2:30, as the time that Kaylee died. But we'll get more into that as we get into the trial. So on June 16th at 2:51 p.m., the Anthony family computer was accessed from a password-protected user listed as Casey Anthony. A Google search was performed for, quote, foolproof suffocation, and a website was accessed listing pro-suicide ways to die without fail. This is 2:51 p.m.
Wow.
On the day that her child supposedly goes missing.
I can't even with this. I cannot with this tidbit of information.
It's crazy.
It's unbelievable.
Like there's
no
explanation for that.
Nope.
That is okay in any capacity.
Absolutely.
In regards to the end of this story. Like you cannot explain that in any sort of logical way, except for what eventually happens.
And the timeline suggests that George left for work at 2:30 and at 2:51, she's back at the house, and she mm-hmm. was not there when George left. She was not there. So 20 minutes later, wherever she's parked, keeping an eye out until when she can go back to the house and use the computer. That's exactly what the fuck she did.
Yep.
So at 3:04 PM, Casey takes a 26-second call from George Anthony on her phones. And the contents of this call are still in question. We do not know what was said. Every side says something different. Some people say nothing at all. Some people say it was a butt dial. So we don't know. Every story is different. We've heard that it's George calling Casey to tell her that he's taking care of everything and not to worry and everything's going to be fine. We've heard that this is a call because George saw Casey come back to the house. And he called her going, what the hell? I thought you just left. I'm pretty sure I just passed you on the road, whatever. And there's other people who say it was just an accident. He realized his phone was on and hung it up. So we really don't know. What we do know is that an hour later, between 4:10 p.m. and 4:14, Casey makes 6 unanswered calls to Cindy on that day. Okay, 6 in 4 minutes. So wonder what she's upset about.
Yeah.
Then at 7:54 p.m., Casey Anthony goes to Blockbuster. Queenies?
I can't.
Oh my God, this made me miss Blockbuster so bad. I used to get so excited if I could go to Blockbuster.
I used to love Blockbuster too.
I'm not going
to
lie. Oh my God. I was a Hollywood Video girl.
Carly!
I can't with you. Oh my
God. I remember Hollywood Video well. Oh, I do.
Hollywood Video was great.
So get a video, and you walk through candy.
And all the VHSs on the wall.
Yeah.
And you go, oh man.
It was the jam, man.
When like the new hit movie just finally came out. So it's just one wall of the
of just all the
movies.
Same tapes.
And you're like hoping there's still at least one left.
One left.
There wasn't. And it was just wild. Yeah. Good times.
Loved it. So Casey Anthony loved it too, apparently, because she was there in 2008 on a Blockbuster Video in Orlando. And she's there with Tony Lazzaro. And Kaylee is not with them. They are PDAing all over the fucking place. Okay. Arms around each other, whatever. They rented Untraceable and Jumper. So make of that what you will. She's got quite the taste in movies. Casey Anthony is watching American Psycho. Casey Anthony is renting Untraceable and Jumper. Like, Jumper. Cool.
I can't.
So... then
so
4 days after Kaylee is last seen, right, June 20th, Casey Anthony is, of course, photographed at the Fusion Ultrasound Hot Body Contest presented by Seduction Productions. Okay?
If you could just insert 10 million vomit emojis right now, please.
Tony Lazzaro, her boyfriend, was one of the DJs as a part of Seduction Productions. His name was DJ Anonymous.
No.
DJ Anonymous.
He is Jason from The Good Place. I'm telling you.
Yes, he is.
He just is. Oh my God.
That's great.
So she's photographed dancing on a table. And she's acting like she doesn't have a care in the world. There's all these pictures of her grinding on another girl, grinding on dudes, just letting it all hang out. Like a lot of us did when we were 21, except most of us didn't have dead kids at that time. But a lot of us definitely did that. We did. We can't hold it against her. But
we just, you know, didn't have a child that was missing.
We didn't just. So I understand it. She's young. She's 21 years old. It's moments like this that the prosecution is going to hone in on and say, she did not want the life that went along with having Kaylee. This is what she wanted. This is the life she wanted. Exactly. So I also find it interesting that in the pictures, any one of us who's ever done pills in college can tell that her pupils are like little pinprick size, teeny tiny, and her eyes are very wide and very intense and very glassy in those photographs. So she's clearly, I don't, you know, if Molly or ecstasy comes to mind, something, like she's having a good pharmaceutical time. She's having a good pharmaceutical night. So 10 days later is when the Pontiac Sunfire is towed from the check cashing parking lot and brought to the impound. Just a few days after that, Casey gets a horrific tattoo. So bad. So bad. On her left shoulder that says Bella Vita, which means beautiful life in Italian.
Okay. Yeah, she has a beautiful life that now she's childless.
Let's roll it back here, folks, for just a minute. Let's just roll it back here, okay, for just a minute. Okay, 16 days earlier in this Bella Vita that Casey Anthony is living, okay, her child was stolen by her nanny 16 days ago. Okay. I just.
There's no words. Like, get a tattoo. Like, tattoos are great. No, nothing against tattoos.
Tattoos are great. Nothing against
the
tattoos.
The meaning of the tattoo at the time is just so sus. I can't deal. Like, suspicious. All over the place.
Yeah, it really is.
It doesn't make any sense. Also, like, who paid for the tattoo? Where'd she get the money for her said tattoo?
Right?
They're not free. Because they're
not free. They're not cheap. And they ain't cheap either.
Okay.
No.
So I don't see that she won the hot body contest and got a prize. So what are we doing?
No, she didn't win.
She's just a little twat bag. That's why.
I'll tell you and that. Is her boyfriend driving her everywhere because her car is just hanging out in the impound?
Yeah, like. Okay, so okay,
it makes me so mad.
So, oh my God, it's like, it's just.
It's like she should have just been like her. She might as well have gotten a tattoo. Like, yay, I don't have a kid anymore. Like on her forehead. Like that's get. Like, what more can we do here?
Just like a tattoo of a baby.
No
bra. And
no problem.
Real, Jocelyn, you're freezing up.
I got so fucking mad at Casey Anthony. My Zoom crashed. So mad.
She's the worst.
This is what the media loved, absolutely loved about this case, was that there was always something to shit talk about.
Yeah.
There was always something that she, that behavior, the time that she spent, that month that she spent with no kid, they had plenty to go on for years, and they did.
Well,
they just
it's
reported
like,
on this shit for years and years, talking about how this relates to her character.
Yeah. Scott Peterson hanging out with his girlfriend at the, you know, calling the girlfriend at the vigil, hanging out with her, whatever, dyeing his hair, taking some thousands of dollars of cash and a passport, his brother's passport, whatever. It's exactly like that. Guilty as shit.
Hanging out with Pascal.
Pascal. No, Zanny and Pascal need to get together. That's what we need.
Oh my God. Zanny and Pascal.
Yes. They need to marry.
They do.
So, and the recorded, because, right, so the media is obsessed with this case. It's always on the TV. Nancy Grace is talking about it every night. They're reporting on it constantly. Somebody at the jail leaks the footage of her conversations with her parents through plate glass. And it is, I swear to God, don't watch it. It's on YouTube.
Oh, no, watch it. I want to send a thank you card to whoever leaked the footage. I would like to send a thank you card, gift certificate of their choosing for $25 for leaking that shit. Because thank you.
Okay, listen, if you're listening and you are the public employee from this jail who leaked that footage, please email us at straightupevil@gmail.com and we will send you a $25 gift card to an Outback Steakhouse or to wherever you want to go.
Wherever your little heart desires.
Dinner is on us. Okay.
We'll put you right there and get you a big steak.
So this is how the media sees her acting so unbelievably bratty and childish, complaining about prison, complaining about what it is that she's going through, not asking about her daughter, not bringing up, the status of the case. What are we going to do? How, like, no, nothing. Just bitching about how the experience is for her, everything that she's going through, and complaining about the fucking food in prison. Okay.
Okay, you have got to say what you put in the outline. I died.
This is the part in the outline where I said, "Is it possible to get more fucking pissed off right now? Can we just fucking toss her ass into a fucking coal mine and seal it?" Okay.
I love it.
You're gonna tell me that the concern on your mind is the food in prison, right? Like, this part of this time is before Kaylee is found.
Right.
You know, we sit looking at it again.
Yes.
We're gonna cite Mary Lyle. You never give up hope. Suzanne's been gone a very long time. And there's some part of her mind that believes that maybe someday, because you don't, if you're an innocent person, you do not give up hope. You do not.
Well, so, and there are those cases where sometimes they come back. They've been held captive for that whole time or whatever.
Yeah, it's a rarity, but it does happen.
Yeah.
It does happen.
But she is such a freaking spoiled brat. She's like, but you don't understand what I've been going through, mom and dad. I'm sure Kaylee's fine. I feel it, I'm sure. But what I've been dealing with, like, it's shut up.
That is sick. That shit is sick when she goes, I feel her, mom. She's close. Mm-hmm. I know that she's close by. It's like,
yeah.
I bet twisting. You fucking know that she's close by. It's just,
oh.
So anyway, in September of 2009, George Anthony attempted suicide in a hotel room. He drove to Daytona Beach. He took a bunch of pills and he drank a bunch of alcohol and tried to kill himself. He was texting and calling friends and family, and people started to realize where he was at, and law enforcement showed up and they were able to get him help. But this was heavily exploited by Casey's defense as like a point of guilt. Like, he felt so guilty that he wanted to kill himself. And in a suicide note, he wrote, quote, "I need to go be with Kaylee." So the defense down the line would point to this as him saying, you know, I'm sorry for what I did to Kaylee and I need to go be with her, basically, rather than just a grieving grandfather who has to come to terms with the fact that his daughter probably killed his granddaughter.
Right. Yeah. And I'm normally err on the side of guilty, but I really feel that he was just in such a state of grief.
Me too.
And just astounding, like, that his daughter did such a thing. And I feel bad. I feel bad for him.
I don't fucking feel bad for him at all.
I do a little bit,
like,
which is shocking to me.
Yeah, it is.
is actually that. I'm the one that's
pretty shocking. I do. I mean, he still raised Casey Anthony, so it ain't all great shakes by any means, but
no. The trial starts out and the prosecution and the defense are completely taking separate tacks here. So the prosecution's opening statement was 2 hours long.
They had a lot to go off. They had a lot to say.
They had a lot to say. You're absolutely right. Like, they really did. Quitty. This is, everyone is just getting so upset about Casey Anthony. It's like fucking us up.
It's the curse. Shit. It's the curse of Casey.
All right. So prosecution's opening statement is fucking 2 hours long. And the prosecuting attorney, her name is one of them is named Linda Drain Burdick. Okay. And Linda, what she does is her intro to this opening statement is Vinny.
Oh God. We just need to finish with this bitch story and be done.
Okay. Seriously. All right.
Okay. So
we're gonna get through it.
This is the best part. This is the trial. This is the best part. So the prosecutor says, all right, starts listing out the days. June 16th, 2008. Where is Kaylee Anthony? June 17th, 2008. Where is Kaylee Anthony? All the way through the day that she was reported missing on July 15th. She goes all the way through it. And
love it.
People get I love it too.
Yes.
And people get 100%. So feel like it was annoying, like it was a bad step, like it counted against them. No. I don't think so. I feel like it was just drawing attention to the fact that, like, you cannot get away from the fact that you spent 31 days without reporting your child missing.
Yeah, seriously.
There's no escaping.
Getting around that. Yeah.
But unfortunately, Casey Anthony was on trial for capital murder and not on trial for being a shitty little person. So, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't actually prove anything, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And Casey's attorney knew that and took full advantage of that. In his opening statement, completely different. He watches what the other person is doing and he just does the opposite. So the prosecutor was very clinical and very calculated in her opening statement, extremely detailed, extremely thorough. He takes a different approach. He decides to entertain these people. And so he says, Kaylee Anthony died on June 16th of 2008. She drowned in the family pool at the Anthony home. And the kidnapping was an idea that was orchestrated by George to cover up the crime. Okay, that's the explanation that the defense rests on. Jose Baez also says that the reason that Casey Anthony is such a bad liar and cannot stop lying and compulsively lies is due to horrific sexual abuse from her father, George Anthony, starting at age 7. And Casey wept through the entire opening statement. Carly's shaking her head. Carly is shaking her head in rage.
I will say this. I will say that George Anthony is not an innocent party in this whole situation. Cindy is not an innocent party in this whole situation. And yeah. Casey Anthony is certainly not innocent a day in her
right.
life.
Right.
That being said, the damn day in her life. That being said, I don't believe it one little tiny bit. I think that it is a ploy for them to get any sort of heat off Casey in any way, shape, or form. I don't think it happened at all. I think that George and Cindy raised an absolutely entitled, spoiled ass brat, and that that's it. Like, she just did anything. She's just a freaking liar, and she just did anything she could to get out of the situation.
Yep. 100%.
That's how I feel. Yeah.
It's so hard too, because anytime someone says they're abused, you want to believe them, but it's very difficult when you have lied about everything single else in your thing life. Yeah. ever.
Yep.
That's very tough. That's very, very tough. So Jose Baez makes this claim in his opening statement and then never fucking brings it up again.
What's the point?
He makes the prosecution bring it up.
So is this him just, but like, I understand, like, it's a tact and, like, different, like, lawyers all have, like, different ways of, like, playing the chess game, like, whatever. They have different strategies. Is he not just being lazy? His tact is to do whatever the opposite of what the prosecution does. So he sees what they're doing, and then he decides what he's going to do, which is just the opposite. That's lazy.
It is lazy.
He brings this up to make the prosecution do it because he's just lazy. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it ended up being, like, a strategy, but it's just kind of lazy to me.
He is playing to the crowd a lot, yeah. I think. I think he's watching the jury and seeing maybe they're glazing over during the opening statement. They're getting tired. Mm-hmm. They see George Anthony being brought up and they know that the jury is kind of like, I don't know. He creeps me out a little bit. Mm-hmm. And he's just taking those cues and running with it. And just running with it and being like, you know.
I hate it.
Nobody ever thought that he could win this case.
Right.
There was no way in hell. So he never brings it up again. Okay. So he plants the seed, boom, done, leaves it, and forces the prosecution to bring it up. So when George Anthony is on the stand for the prosecution, he says he never sexually abused his daughter. And he never had any prior knowledge of Kaylee's death. So totally rejects that. Nope. Sorry. Absolutely not. Never happened. Then he also testifies under oath about when Tony and Casey broke into the garage to steal the gas cans.
Yeah.
Which is a story from last episode. And that's the one that ends with Casey throwing empty gas cans at him and going, here's your fucking gas cans. Okay.
Oh my God. Is this going to be a shirt now? Like, is this going to be a t-shirt?
Here's
your fucking gas cans.
Like,
that
gas
are empty.
Cans just all over the front.
Just a whole gas can print.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
So Baez also says that Roy Kronk, the man who found the remains of Kaylee Anthony while doing a number one in the woods, probably tampered with the crime scene, which we know he did. Yeah. He took a stick and picked his skull up. He fucking tampered with it. And therefore the entire crime scene is contaminated.
Yep.
It is entirely irrelevant and it cannot be held against Casey Anthony. That's what he says. That is what he fucking says. So as the witnesses roll through for the prosecution, they testify person after person. Her demeanor never changed between June 16th and July 15th. Nobody ever had any idea that she had a missing child. She never acted any different. She never told anybody. Tony Lazzaro, the guy that she's dating at that time, says he didn't even know Kaylee was missing, which I'm not super shocked. He's a DJ in Orlando in fucking 2008. Like, I'm not trying. I mean, I don't think he's probably the most intuitive person in the world. He was dating Casey Anthony. So, like, I'm sure, like, maybe, okay, fine. Like, you didn't pick up on it. But what Casey was telling him every time he would be like, well, where's the baby? She would either say that the kid was with Cindy and George or with Zenaida, Danny the nanny. Okay. So Cindy really gets like this Danny the nanny story out there in her testimony. She was like, whenever I asked where the baby was, Casey said that she was with the nanny. Always. Like, that's what I was told. She constantly referred to her as Zanny, short for Zenaida, and rhyming with nanny, which just makes me want to set my kitchen on fire.
Did you see my note I made in the outline?
Okay. Carly says, Zanny the nanny equals Dr. Crentist, Dwight's dentist in the office. Fake dentist.
Oh,
do
my
you remember,
God.
Do
yes.
you know that episode?
Yes.
Dr. Crentist?
He's like, what, you went to the dentist, Dwight? And Michael goes, and Dwight's like, yeah. He's like, oh, what's your dentist name? Crentist. Oh, your dentist name is Crentist? Mm-hmm. Stop lying, you liar. Okay. Real quick, it also reminds me, who's paying the nanny? Who's paying the nanny? She does not make enough money at Universal Studios, no matter what she freaking does, to pay for a personal nanny to have the baby, to have the kid all the time.
No.
100% not.
Like, is Cindy in denial about every single thing in her life? Because I'm pretty sure she is.
Yes.
Yes, 100%. So she's, her kid, okay, is basically like, she thinks she's fucking clever. Casey thinks that she is fucking clever in this by saying Zanny the Nanny, because we all know that Zanny is an incredibly popular nickname for Xanax. It's what everyone called it in college. Mm-hmm. You know, back in the day, back when we had to walk 7 miles in the snow.
Uphill, both ways.
Uphill with no shoes to school. And that, like, what she thinks she's fucking clever, okay? Uh-huh. She thinks that she is getting one over on her mother with that joke. Uh-huh. And on everyone she tells.
Yeah.
So Cindy testifies about the odor of decomposition in the trunk of the car, okay?
Yeah, which kills me.
And she says she was told that it was actually just garbage from old pizza in the trunk of the vehicle. And saying it smells like a dead body, that was just a figure of speech.
No. Nope. Nobody says it. Nobody says that.
Have you ever in your life, sometimes I say like, wow, it smells bad in here, or it smells like the foot of a man in here, or it smells like shit in here. Have I ever said, wow, you know, it smells like there's a damn dead body in the trunk of the car to 911, mind you, mm-hmm. who is not a fan of euphemisms or, you want to be as literal with those people as you possibly
can. Yeah.
What I also like is that someone would choose to use that particular figure of speech when they are searching for their missing granddaughter who could possibly be dead.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just use a quick little cute little figure of speech, because that's cute.
Figure of speech, fake news, Carly.
Right. Oh my God.
So the prosecution introduces over 400 scientific items. Okay. So they're just hammering them. One of them is a single hair found in the trunk of Casey's car, and it's identified by mitochondrial DNA as either Kaylee or someone in Kaylee's maternal line. So Casey or Cindy. Mm-hmm. The distinguishing factor about this hair is what is called the death band, which is a single band of decomposition that's within the fiber of the hair, and it suggests that an individual has died. You would think that a medical examiner in Florida, you'd be like, well, maybe they don't get a ton of homicides. I mean, Orlando's a popular place, but you know, southern part of the country, you never know what kind of medical examiner you're going to get. Dr. G, as in Dr. G medical examiner, was the medical examiner in this case. Okay, so a world-renowned, brilliant medical examiner does the exam on this and confirms that the hair has the death band in it. So this is her professional opinion that we're talking about here. Another doctor named Dr. Arpad Voss, he testified a method of tracing gases within the trunk of the car and saying that when gases were released from a decomposing body, basically they were released into a closed atmosphere, which was the trunk, and went up into the fibers of the trunk. So they take apart the fibers. It's fascinating, actually.
I love this shit.
It's
fascinating.
And he determines, it's his professional opinion, that there was something decomposing in the car. Then there was a piece of, so Kaylee Anthony was found, the skull of Kaylee Anthony was found with duct tape over the front. And the duct tape stayed intact pretty well. Given the circumstances, given how long she was out there. And typically when someone dies, the mandible separates from the face.
Right.
In this case, because there was duct tape on her face, the mandible did not separate exactly, and it stuck. It was still there. So they could physically see that the duct tape covered both her nose and her mouth. Okay. So it's large enough on a almost 3 year old to cover her nose and her mouth. So to me, that sounds like foolproof suffocation.
What?
But
what?
What do I know? You know what I'm saying? Like, what do I know?
I am shook.
Yeah.
So then a forensic entomologist also testifies and says that the insects collected from inside the trunk of that car suggest a body had been decomposing in it for some time. So again, they're just from all angles, the prosecution is trying to say, and this scientist says, because there is no direct evidence. There is no, we don't have a smoking gun here. We can't even put her at the crime scene necessarily. Again, just like I said in episode one, it's a fucking bummer that the parents are even involved because they alibi her left and right. Yeah. And it's just so, it doesn't help
anybody. It's obvious. It's
completely obvious. It's
fucking totally obvious that they fucking helped her cover it up.
No, and no, you can't trust any of them. They're lying about the high school graduation. You think they're going to not lie about, like, you can't trust them.
If anybody knows how to get the fucking majority of the evidence of that body in the car, it's going to be George because he was a police officer. Just saying.
That's true.
As soon as the prosecution rests, Jose Baez jumps up and files for a motion to acquit as the prosecution has not met the burden of proof. Okay, so he immediately, as soon as the prosecution rests, is like, that's all you've got? No, forget it. I want this fucking trial thrown out. And it's obviously immediately denied, but it plants a seed in the mind of the jury that, like, oh shit, that's all they've got to tell us. Maybe they really don't have a case. Even if they did, even if they were compelled, this is just slipping doubt in there. This is just chipping away at, like, maybe the case isn't that strong. Maybe we don't really know. So the defense basically just goes on the attack and starts saying what DNA evidence was not at the scene, right? We don't have any blood in the car. We don't have any conclusive DNA evidence on the duct tape that was found on Kaylee that links it to any one suspect. Okay. And then they start rolling out expert after expert after expert saying, you know, I'm not really sure that Kaylee Anthony was even in the woods for that long. The way that the remains are found means that maybe she was moved. Maybe just her bones were brought there. Maybe she had decomposed considerably somewhere else. You know, when they had done previous searches of this area, remember, Benny, how you were like, how the fuck did they miss this? Mm-hmm. At one point in time, that area was under 2 feet of water. So it would often flood. And so they just kept saying, like, you can't prove that she's always been there. You can't really prove that there was a body in the trunk because you didn't find a body in the trunk. Nobody saw it. Nobody, like, they just keep chipping away at it. So one of the things that really damned Kaylee Anthony was her search history, obviously, foolproof suffocation, et cetera. And so in the searches of this home computer, they find the word chloroform was searched several times, okay? And Cindy, now speaking and testifying on behalf of the defense, says that, oh no, it was her who made the searches for chloroform, okay? And she just mixed it up. What she meant was chlorophyll, because one of the dogs had eaten a plant in the yard and she wanted to know if it would have adverse effects. I feel like I'm gonna have to just I need a paper bag to breathe into with how angry it makes me. Do you really, really think that people are that fucking stupid?
Stupid.
Buy that. But they did.
We see where Kaylee gets her lying from.
Right. That's what I said. That's what I said in the beginning. Like, it's like it's their lies back and forth to each other and covering up for each other and shit.
It's also so fucked up.
They encourage each other. Like
being a dog owner. Okay. My dog has eaten many a weird plant and never have I gone to search. Oh, is it the chlorophyll that's going to make him sick? No, yeah, I'd be like, no. Weird plant, backyard, dog eat. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like,
seriously.
I'd be and like, Cindy looks like Anthony, a lily. Like, what are we doing? Like, not, yeah, oh, Cindy the chlorophyll Anthony, is going to like, be.
Because it's so a hot crock pot of bullshit.
Here's the best part of this entire story, okay? when the Anthony computer was searched, they only searched Internet Explorer. They never searched Firefox as a browser. It was just overlooked. The defense calls Roy Kronk to basically accuse him of moving the body himself. And I mean, the guy, that guy is a lot of things, you know, yeah. But come on. He completely denied that. He went as far as to call 911 three times to get somebody out there. He was visibly, I mean, he knew what he was looking at, and maybe, you know, I don't know. I just feel like, no.
Yeah.
So in the closing arguments, the prosecution again is like, Casey Anthony lies. Casey Anthony lies a lot.
All the time.
And it's like, we all fucking know that she lies. This. We know it, but that does not get you executed in the United States of America. Remember, if they find her guilty, she's getting the shot and that's it. And she was a 21-year-old white female with no criminal record. So that's tough. It's tough to make that leap. So they're just hammering her lies again and again. And Jose Baez makes his final statement and says, dismissed the prosecution's theory, said it was ludicrous, basically just pointed out all the holes in the case and rested. Just reminded them of everything that doesn't quite add up, doesn't quite make sense in this case, doesn't get you to capital murder. You know, he said she does, she lies, she was abused, she lies a lot, but she didn't kill her kid. So on July 4th, 2011, the case goes to the jury, and 10 hours and 40 minutes later, Casey Anthony was found not guilty on all major charges. That's not a long time.
No. For this kind of case, especially.
When you see a short jury deliberation like that, they're usually guilty.
Yeah.
Shocking. Completely shocking. She was found guilty of giving false information to law enforcement. Do we not remember? I actually don't work here. She was sentenced to time served and she left prison a week later. So guess what, everybody? Casey Anthony is out here living her life as a free woman. And because of double jeopardy, can never be charged with the murder of Kaylee Anthony again, unless there's some revolutionary development in the case. And even then it would take quite a while for her to ever be charged again. So Casey Anthony was basically sued by everyone after that. Everyone sued her. The Florida Sheriff's Department, Texas Equisearch. I mean, these people spent so much money and so many resources that could have been really devoted to actual good work on her fucking ass. So she was sued by a lot of different people. Also, she was then investigated by the Florida Department of Child and Family Services and found guilty of killing her child. So in the eyes of the government, she is still guilty. And the total fines were about $100,000 that she was ordered to pay, that she was sued for. So she had quite an uphill battle to pay back that money. And there's a lot of speculation about how she paid her attorney.
How she paid anything.
Mm-hmm. But she was sued by Roy Kronk eventually for defamation, because a lot of people thought introducing him as a possible, like he might've had something to do with it. That was horrible for him, obviously. And then there was literally a woman named Zenaida Gonzalez Fernandez, or is it Fernandez Gonzalez? I can never tell. Mm. And she was not involved in any way in the case. And she was being openly harassed by the media to make comment. And she's like, I don't even know this person. So she also sued Casey Anthony. So that was 2011. And today, in addition to being a fucking asshole, Casey Anthony is living with one of the defense investigators who worked on her case. His name is Pat McKenna. And Casey apparently works under the umbrella of his investigation firm. And she says she feels good about helping people like her who were falsely accused and using her resources to discover the truth. Okay. So if Kaylee were alive today, Casey says, quote, she'd be a badass. Okay. She also says that she sleeps pretty good at night. And in 2020, while talking about her movie, As I Was Told, she spoke to the Associated Press and she says that she doesn't really remember what happened to Kaylee, but she wishes she could.
I would like to.
Wow.
I would like to throw everything in my house just around and punch every wall that I can get to. Like, I would like to drive my car into a wall.
Like, it is so mad. Infuriating. There's literally nothing you can do.
That's it.
They fucked it up.
They blew
that case and they fucked it up. And now
they fucked it all up.
They fucked it up bad. So, Quinnies, since we don't believe a fucking word Casey Anthony says, what do we think happened to Kaylee Anthony?
I think either she wanted to party one night and she probably tried to give her some medicine to like make her go to sleep. And I think she might have overdosed her or something. Or I think she put the duct tape over her mouth and deliberately did it to like make her stop crying, probably because she didn't want to hear or something along those lines. And she suffocated and then she disposed of the body after some time, obviously. I think maybe she could have drowned in the pool. That one's always been in the back of my head kind of a little bit, that maybe she drowned by accident and then they just try to cover it up, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty much almost totally convinced that
that it was an intentional, motivated,
yes,
she did it.
Yeah.
How do you think the parents factor into it?
Like, I think that they just helped her cover shit up, because I'm a little bit torn about the grandparents. There's a part of me that feels like,
yeah,
they would cover up for her, but then there's another part of me that feels like they just were so devastated. Like, why? How could they do something like that? More so, I see the grief. Like, I mean, I see it in both of the grandparents, but I see it more in in George than I do Cindy, where I just don't like really trust her as much.
Mm.
But yeah, it's both ways. I think he's the only one that could have covered up that trunk as well.
Do you want to go, Quinny, or are you ready for my take?
No, we gotta save yours. Yours is the best. We gotta save yours for last, so that
I'm sure
influence people to fucking go in their house and fucking trash the place, smash all their shit.
Okay.
I believe that Casey Anthony routinely gave her kid pills to get her to go to sleep when she wanted, to get her to calm down, to keep her docile, you know, as much as she could, and be able to do her own thing, be able to not have to be quiet when Kaylee's sleeping, be able to just pick and choose when she slept, what she did, to kind of influence her own schedule. I think she was using it all throughout the 2 years where she said she was working at Universal and the kid was at, quote unquote, at the babysitter's. I think she was just giving her drugs to keep her sedated, to keep her quiet, basically, and out of the way. I do think that Casey had a really, really bad fight with her mom on the night of June 15th, as everyone seems to say she did. And they got into each other's faces and they were literally at each other's throats and they got separated. And Cindy said to her, if you listen, I'm going to take this baby away from you. And I think Casey Anthony did not respond well to that. And probably gave Kaylee a little bit more than she should have after that happened. Maybe instead of one Xanax, she got two, or maybe she, instead of two, she got three, whatever it was. But when she picked up her kid next, Kaylee was unresponsive. And I don't necessarily know if she was dead, but I do know that Casey Anthony couldn't tell her parents what was wrong. with Kaylee, could not explain why she was in the state that she was in. So I do think that she Googled foolproof suffocation, and I do think she put tape over her mouth until she died. Mm-hmm. I really, really do. I don't think she could bring herself to tell her mom and dad. Now, if her mom and dad knew about it from the beginning, that would make more sense to me. Mm-hmm. But if mm-hmm. this was something that Casey Anthony did, there's just no way that she could ever tell that she doesn't have it in her. She doesn't have it in her to admit she's a fucking steel jaw trap. She doubles down. You know, I have a basketball under my shirt, but I'm 19 years old and I'm a virgin. Like, there's just no, she just doubles down. So I do believe that she gave her too much, and she either died right then and there, or she was still making some noises and Casey put tape over her mouth. I really do. I'm completely with you. I do not trust either of the parents, but I do feel like that 911 call suggests that Cindy does not know what the fuck is going on. The third call, it reminds me of Patsy Ramsey in a way. It's like bad panic. It's like there's a terror in her voice of like, I don't even know what I'm saying. It makes me believe that she didn't know about it. At least she didn't know about it. But George is an odd fucking dude. And yeah. It's still to this day, even when he talks, you're like, what is up? I don't know if it's the years of being in a house with those two women.
Yeah, that interview that they just did with them a couple years ago.
That's what I was gonna talk about. Yes.
I was like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Go ahead, buddy. Let's fucking unleash the floodgates of rage right now.
Yeah.
I agree with both of you. I think like both of you have like, I agree with a lot of elements from like both of what you said. And I do think that she, as a practice, probably gave Kaylee stuff all the time. Absolutely. 100%. I think that the actual final act was 100% her choice. Like, she intentionally did it. I would not be surprised if that argument, like you said, Jocelyn, was like the like one of the final, you know, straws, like the catalyst. Yeah. But I wouldn't be shocked if she was thinking about it before then, because I think my theory that what was happening was, in Casey's whole life, from what we can tell, she was spoiled. She was entitled. They covered shit up for her all the time. They essentially, you know, let her get away with things in one sense or another. So she was used to being coddled. She was used to being in some way allowed to do whatever she wanted, even though like she would steal the gas cans and they would say, I'm going to call the police or whatever. She still ended up getting away with things. Mm. Right. Yeah. So, and she's used to being, you know, probably their number one, like whether it's being the problem child or being the good kid, she's their number one.
She's the focus.
Right. She's the focus. Kaylee comes around and of course, like she's going to be the new focus because of course she is. She's adorable. She's a kid. Like she needs the attention. She's loving, like they love her, all that stuff. And I think she got jealous. And
yeah,
the little spoil of her own kid that she probably didn't want to begin with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously Cindy was, you know, so in love with Kaylee and like, she was the first one to hold her or whatever. So mm-hmm. there's like the dynamic of, like you said before, Cindy, you know, talking down to Casey about not being a good mom, like yada, yada, yada. So she's getting that toxicity, but then she's also seeing how Cindy and George are doting on Kaylee.
Yes.
And not doting on her anymore. Yes. Right. So I think that that's like snapped in her mind, like that's triggering her. And then the fight happens or whatever. And she's like, you know what? You don't want to do whatever. Like, you're not going to let me get away with whatever.
You're not gonna
I'm going to take away your little angel that you love so mm-hmm. much.
Yeah.
And I think she intentionally killed her to get back at her parents in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, to her, her mother. Fuck yeah.
And to get her mother back. Like, not just to get her back, like, revenge.
Yes.
Right. But to get her back focused
on her. Yes. Right. Yes. And the dad. Because, if you remember in the tape of the conversation when she's in jail, mm-hmm. to the parents or whatever, like there's a part where they say, where either she says or the dad says, like, that they're like the best of buddies, and she's like, but I can't, you know, deal with the fact that I don't have you in my life anymore or whatever, you know, like something to that effect. Mm-hmm. Where do you remember that, like, she,
yeah, she's like,
really, what's dad, you were always there for me and blah blah blah, blah blah. So in the fact of how I think the parents get into it, I would agree that they don't necessarily know in the beginning, for sure. Like you said, mm-hmm. with the 911 call for Cindy, but they definitely find out one way or another, whether they stumble upon it, whether Casey finally like spills the beans. I think if she does spill the beans at all, she spills the beans to George.
Yeah.
But I think Cindy's the mastermind of how they took care of it.
The response.
The response. And I think that George and Cindy, like George being in the house with them all those years, while he was the detective and he was the cop and he knew the logistics of how to do everything, he always, I think, would feed off of whatever Cindy and Casey were doing.
Yeah.
So Cindy was like, this is how we're doing it. You're not going to let our daughter go to jail. Like Kaylee's gone. We've got to do this. And you got to get us out of it. And he just did whatever they decided to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so. In that fact, they're all freaking guilty.
They're all totally complicit.
They're all complicit, 100%. And again, in that, like you brought up, Quinny, that interview with the two of them, when like Cindy just doesn't want to talk about it, and she just like refuses to talk about it, like denial, absolute denial.
Yeah,
I don't think that is just from grief. I think that is from protecting her own mind.
Yeah,
about what she has done, what she has raised in Casey, what has happened to Kaylee, what mm-hmm. she made George, or you know, enlisted George to do, and then same with him, with the grief that he was dealing with. I did feel, like I said, I felt a little bit bad for him, because at that point, I'm not sure what was going, like, in the timeline, like how involved he was, but they were definitely all involved, 100%.
George, a former cop and security guard, said that what he really wanted to do in life was be a costume character at Disney World. Like, that was his dream.
There's some things that was like really
wrong. That was his dream. Like, I often think about that and be like, what kind of environment was growing in that house where all you really want to do is put on a mask that covers your entire body and not have to be yourself for a living. Like, mm-hmm. like, yeah.
Oh gosh, I can't.
God, I know, I can't. It does make me think of the Ramses. It makes me think of OJ. It makes me think of Scott Peterson. And at the end of the day, Kaylee Anthony joins the ranks of JonBenet and Amy Mihalovic and all of these young girls that we don't have an answer to what happened to her. And it is so fucking horrible.
So tragic, yeah.
And
meanwhile, all three Anthonys are just out there.
Cashing in, whatever. Right the fuck in, getting press, making movies.
Maybe watching this right now.
I am going to put it out there that if they are watching this, turn it off and go to therapy right now. Sit down, turn the podcast off, and you know, there's plenty. Dead. Hey, you know what? Everybody just sit down and have a conversation with each other, because, you know, can you even imagine though, like, having something like this happen in your family and just burying it the way that they have.
That's all they did.
I know. Just like, oh my God.
Do we think that they have any sort of relationship?
The parents and Casey?
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
Do you think so? You do?
Dude, she accused her father of sexual abuse that they had never mentioned before until they decided to get him on the stand. Like, what? And she killed a kid and made them help her clean it up.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised if they have no contact because of just how everything has unfolded. Like, they cannot be seen all together out in public.
No, are you kidding me? That would be an incredible People magazine cover.
You know what I mean? So like they can't, they're definitely not like going out to dinner together. You know what I mean? Like that's definitely not happening.
No. I would really be shocked if she like, contacted them.
Yeah.
I really would.
She's not going to go back to their house. They still have the Kaylee shrine up there. She's not going to go there.
No, God, no.
I don't know. There's a part of me. There's just this part of me that thinks like, I don't know.
What?
That they would like see each other. I don't know.
I mean, maybe.
Because I'm sure they want to see her. They don't want to lose a daughter after they've already lost a granddaughter.
Right. Yeah. I don't know.
But she's a narcissist. All she cares about is herself. 100%. So I doubt that she's like,
and a manipulator. How are you guys?
Yeah.
So what did we learn here? What have we learned?
Oh my God.
Girls?
What have we learned?
Nothing.
We have learned that they should not have tried her for the death penalty. They should have just tried to charge her with murder. And then exactly. She would have been in prison.
Yep.
Where she belongs. Exactly.
Where she belongs.
Where she fucking belongs. You know, we're terribly sorry for the loss of Kaylee Anthony.
It's so sad.
Moral of the story is take care of your babies. And if you can't, then
that give poor them to little someone girl will. Deserves so much more.
So seriously, much more.
It was so cute.
Real too. Quick. Oh, did we forget about the fund that Cindy and George had started that is now dissolved?
The fund?
There was some sort of nonprofit organization of some kind in Kaylee's name that they had open for a couple years, and then it just disappeared.
Oh, well, where did all that cash go?
I wonder where it went. What legal fees, anybody?
Cough, cough. Legal fees.
Well,
we're done.